Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome in to Tech Talk, the blind and partially sighted community's regular opportunity to explore the world of technology. We're keen to know what's accessible, what's inaccessible, and what's somewhere in between. Why not drop us a line or a voice note? We love to hear your voices. TechTalk at rnib.org.uk is that all-important email address. TechTalk at rnib.org.uk. This week, coming up on Tech Talk, we will be hearing about the latest developments from Avanti Trains. Karthik Kannan from Envision is also back on the programme, letting us know what's new there. And we'll also be speaking with our friends at Real Sam. Joining me this week, my co-host, Callum Stoneman. Welcome in, sir. How are you?
Doing good, thanks. Yeah, looking forward to another Tech Talk.
How's ChatGPT treating you? I know you were playing with that last week.
I have, yeah. It's still going well. It's still blowing my mind.
I heard that somebody tried to get it to write an episode of Tech Talk. I might be out of a job.
I know. Apparently it was a massive improvement as well.
So no.
I'm scared. I'm really scared.
Anything else tickling your fancy?
Well, this isn't particularly a new thing, but my employer has just given us access to Pluralsight, which is like an online learning platform for technology skills. And I've been playing around with it. Looks really accessible, which is quite a nice thing for these platforms. I'm not sure about the content of the courses themselves, but I've been looking at the different channels, the different paths that you can create on there, and the different certifications you can aim for, and setting all those kind of things up, you know, setting your learning goals, your certification goals, looks really accessible. And all the courses are professionally moderated and reviewed, so hopefully they've got some sort of accessibility standard on there. I'm not entirely certain, as I said, of the course themselves, but so far I'm impressed.
I think it's an area we're going to be looking at more and more, how technology is used in education, you know, obviously for professional settings like the one you've just described, but also blind and partially sighted students at school and university, you know, all the issues around procurement and training. It seems like there's quite a rich vein there for us to explore. So let us know if you have used any online learning platforms. So do let us know what works and what didn't work. We're keen to hear about those issues around online learning platforms. Now, those of you who listen to me regularly will know that I like to travel out and about on the UK's rail network. And of course, I can do that independently and safely thanks to passenger assistance. Well, joining us to talk about passenger assistance, and I'm sure a whole bunch of other things, are former RNIB colleagues Martin Byrne and Ricky West, who are now with Avanti West Coast. Welcome in, gentlemen, to RNIB Connect Radio. Fantastic to have you with us. Let's just start with you, Martin. Just tell us, what is it you do at Avanti West Coast?
Hi, David. Thank you for having us. My role at Avanti is Social Media Accessibility Executive. Quite a bit of a mouthful. But fundamentally, we're here to sort of connect with our accessible focused passengers and sort of develop that platform to be an enriched service to sort of support passengers on their journeys and develop a community and connection with the service that is there to assist and develop out the service for the future.
Ricky?
I'm doing the same role as Martin, and I've only recently just joined, only as of January this year. So I'm just learning the ropes, but also wanting to help with accessibility. And also, being visually impaired, I understand the difficulties that some people may have. So I think knowing some of the issues and finding the best solutions is a really helpful tool to have.
Right, and it's really encouraging to hear that blind and partially sighted people are kind of have got a voice in this area, right? So you're working for a mainstream company, you're working in the area of accessibility, but you are yourselves bringing lived experience as well as professional experience from your work at RNIB as well.
There was an appetite there from Avanti to try and engage with the community to sort of get people on board, to have that lived experience, to sort of give them a better perspective of what they should be doing, and give them sort of experience of what we gathered from living with the conditions we have and also working in the sector with RNIB.
And you, Ricky, you actually live on the West Coast Main Line, so this is going to be an area quite close to your heart.
Yes, definitely. So I'm Milton Keynes based, and that means I'm using it every single time that I either travel south or north from there. So I rely on those trains most days, one for work and then two for travelling for leisure. And I need a good service to help me. So that may be passenger assist or linking into the new service that we want to talk about.
Yeah, and we can't underestimate, you know, the importance of rail travel for many of us. In the UK, it's certainly the primary way, I would say, that I get around the country. I used to live up in the northwest. I've got family and friends near Preston, so I lived there many years. And you know, I remember I go back to the old intercity 125 days. So perhaps showing my age a little bit there. So Martin, why don't you tell us a little bit about your announcement today?
Around about 18 months, 2 years ago, Avanti launched a community-led Facebook page called Accessible Travel on Avanti West Coast. And that's been a real great success in terms of bringing people together with their experiences traveling on the network and actually highlighting some of the issues that people have as well. Because it's, as we all know, we have challenges when we're out on the network. So what we have to work alongside this Facebook group, we've come along to the idea of introducing a remote travel companion, and it's reframed as travel companion as the service. And the way we're framing this service, it's almost like a virtual train manager. So the passenger assist team are absolutely great and they're fabulous in what they do, but we recognise that when the passenger assist member of staff may leave you on the train, it's that sort of going into the unknown, what could happen from the next point to the next point to the next point. So we've developed a platform using WhatsApp, which connects into our social media chains. So you can actually chat with myself and Ricky and part of the social media team in real time when you feel that you require support or may need a little bit of extra support on that journey. That could be something as simple as, where am I? What carriage am I in? Or, okay, I'm struggling to get to the train manager. Could you send the train manager down to me? And then we can have that engagement with the onboard staff to support that passenger on that journey. And also in the stations as well. One thing we're keen to do is look at how technology intertwines with this platform. Now, WhatsApp's great because it's quite accessible in terms of most people are aware of it. We are looking at the possibility of text messaging in the future, but it's not as simple as people may think to have that on live engagement at that one point in time. So some of the apps we're looking at, we've partnered with Be My Eyes. We signed up with themselves to be a preferred partner for them and as a designated support within their business directory for Avanti West Coast services. So we're looking at how we can bring on other technologies into that melting pot of sort of solutions to support people on that point-to-point journey. And the reason I looked at Be My Eyes is because there's hundreds of different options out there. The one thing I was quite passionate about is I didn't want to include, like, I didn't want to just say, oh, we work in Birmingham, or it works in Milton Keynes, or it works in X station. I also thought, Be My Eyes, as long as you've got a bit of data, as long as you've got a bit of phone coverage, we can support you, whether you be even at home worrying about picking the right tickets up off your desk, whether it be in the station looking at picking the right food off M&S's shelf. It felt to me as though that option gives that confidence to do this, whereas some applications are requiring some sort of very geographical locations for them to support. They are also very good. And we are looking at things like good maps within stations as well to sort of further enrich this. But I wanted to get something we can spin up quickly, simple to use, and quite recognisable across the sight loss sector at the moment.
Okay, so there's a lot of information there, Martin. So we're just going to sort of dig into that. So let's just start with who this is aimed at. So this is a kind of a travel companion service that you can access through your smartphone on WhatsApp, where you're able to access support remotely while traveling. So this is for passengers, customers of Avanti.
Correct. Now, obviously, with an accessible focus, but I don't want to say we're going to pinpoint any particular area. I think it's open to anybody who feels they need extra support while on that journey as well.
Right. So it's not specifically just for blind and partially sighted people, is for anyone, is it?
It could be a wheelchair user, it could be any sensory loss, it could be a mobility issue in terms of age. We want to build the confidence up across the whole area of that passenger journey. But we're obviously acknowledging that sight loss is the major part of that journey, major users of that service within accessibility. They are the higher user number, if that makes sense.
Sure. And in terms of what you would need then, so obviously you'd need to be travelling on an Avanti West Coast service. You would need to have a smartphone, either connected via cellular or Wi-Fi, and you would need to have WhatsApp installed to make that work.
Correct. WhatsApp today. As I said, though, David, this is a trial at the moment. We have looked at text messaging as an option. It may seem very simple, but obviously when you're trying to manage your services, that sort of around sort of following the train service, you've got to manage it in the back end as well. And text messaging becomes a little bit more troublesome in that space, where WhatsApp allows us to be real time, live 24/7. So that's why we've chosen this as the first point of option.
Sure. Ricky, tell us a bit about the why. Why does a service like this add value? Why might it be important?
So when it's linked with Passenger Assist, it can be really important, for instance, as a vision impaired person or with someone that has limitations of trying to find a train manager on board. So say there's an issue around a certain thing and you need to seek a train manager on board or staff, crew, what we can do is when you receive a message, we can have the information to get in touch with someone on board and get that person to you. So that takes away the stress of you having to try and find someone. That may be because either it's really busy or you don't have the limitations, so you may not be able to go and find someone as easy. So having that option of getting someone to come to you, and that may be if you're using like a at-seat ordering system and you need food and drink, or you may just need help or reassurance when you're coming up to your station and Passenger Assist will be already pre-booked for you, but just making sure that you're okay to get off or there's enough time to get off, especially if you're in a wheelchair. And then when it comes to the behind the scenes stuff, and as me and Martin, a reassurance, we want to have the empathy and understanding of what those difficulties may be. Me and Martin, with our visual impairment, have that known experience. As always, there's loads of different abilities that people have in life, but we want to try and help them be more relaxed and a more enjoyable journey. So try and take away the stress of that journey. As Martin said, it begins at home. Your journey starts at home. So I like to plan. I'm a big planner, and I believe that most people do plan a little bit more if they have a visual impairment or other ability in life. But just knowing there's an extra benefit or extra layer there to help, I think is really important. And it may be just, have I got the right ticket? Because that could be quite a stressful instance. You get to a gate and your ticket doesn't work, or you're showing the wrong ticket. It's a bit of an embarrassment, but just knowing that someone's there to help with that. Or if on board you have something in front of you, when it's linked to Be My Eyes, we can explain to people in a clock face method of explaining potentially where things are. Again, just helping with reassurance. And as Martin said, trying to find the right carriage, or am I at the right seat in case we do need to get hold of a staff member to come down and help you. That can all link in together and just try and relieve any stress where possible, because it is stressful at times for people that need to travel.
Right, because some of these trains are quite large, aren't they? They've got quite a number of units, number of coaches, and often when I get on a train, you know, maybe there's been an issue with the assistants at the station and I've had to get on the train myself, I might not know where I am on the train. So what you're saying, chaps, that we can use Be My Eyes in that situation to maybe identify where we are, communicate that to you guys, and then the train manager can then, armed with that information, come and find me.
With Be My Eyes, we would ask either me or Martin or the social media team would know where to point your device. As you know, with Be My Eyes, we can use the torch feature and it uses the rear camera to identify, and we could just say, turn to the left, or turn to 3 o'clock, or turn to 9 o'clock, just so we can identify the coach or the seat number, and then we can relay that to the onboard team and get someone to come down and help you. And if you had a pre-booked seat, they could potentially help you move then to your pre-booked seats, with the chain manager being there to help and assist.
Yeah, I think one of the big barriers that we face as blind and partially sighted people often is access to information in the broadest possible sense, not just written information, but information about the environment. So being able to see, like, oh, is there a free seat at the other end of the carriage, or you know, is there space on the other luggage rack, and that kind of thing. So I can see how this would be useful in those sorts of situations. Brilliant. Any final thoughts from you then, Ricky?
As Martin said, I want people to sign up, use this service. Your feedback would be great, and potentially I'll be speaking to you, or Martin will be, and we'll be happy to help where we can and try and make that journey as less stressful as possible.
Excellent. Martin, what's the best way to get in touch? How do folks sign up?
Yep, so on the 22nd we'll go in live. All they need to do is text or message on WhatsApp. It doesn't matter what your message is, it'll come through. You can say hello, you can give us your next train journey, you can say, hi Martin and Ricky, we don't care, it will reach us. And you need to reach out to us on WhatsApp on 07980 037 037. That's 07980 037 037.
Okay, well, hopefully that's a nice memorable number. But if anybody doesn't have that, is there a website or anywhere else we can learn more?
Yeah, it will be going live on the services through our Avanti's website. You'll also see this going live on social media as well, with a sort of marketing campaign happening in the background of this as well. If people are using social platforms, you'll probably see that on there, hopefully.
And will the passenger assistance teams, presumably they'll also be armed with this information? So if somebody needs to...
Yeah. I mean, depending on how you book the service, passenger assist are instructed to inform people about the service at the same over the phone bookings as well. So hopefully, if you do call in, you'll hear about the service. But it's there to enrich that platform, because what a great service passenger assist is today already.
Fantastic. Well, Martin Byrne and Ricky West from Avanti West Coast, thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Envision is a topic that we've covered quite a lot here on Tech Talk. Indeed, our very own Tasni Marshad has got a pair of the Envision glasses and has been very happy with them. And a few months ago, we spoke with Karthik Kannan about the company. And we've had some news from them. They've recently announced some changes, some pricing changes to the Envision glasses. And I'm really happy to say that Karthik is back to tell us more. Welcome back to Tech Talk.
Thank you so much, Callum, for having me. It's been a pretty wild ride for us ever since the last Tech Talk, which was, you know, just a few months ago, actually. You know, it's been quite a wild ride for us at Envision here. So thank you so much for having me back again.
We didn't catch you last time. Just tell us a bit about Envision and what the product is, and, you know, a bit about the company.
Sure. So Envision is a company that builds these glasses. We call them the Envision glasses. They're a pair of smart glasses that help a person who's blind or visually impaired to live more independently. The glasses basically have a camera on them and a speaker on them. And essentially what it does is that it takes pictures of things around you, extracts information from those, you know, images, and then speaks them out to you. And the information could be, for example, you taking a picture of a document, and then the glasses would extract text from the document and then speak it out to you. Or, you know, you could, you know, go ahead and take a picture of a person, and if you've taught Envision how to, you know, the face of that person, the glasses would speak out the name, and so on and so forth, right? You can use it to recognize currency, you can use it to detect color, get a description of the scene around you. And apart from all the cool AI stuff that is there on the glasses, you can also go ahead and make calls to friends or family members directly from the Envision glasses. And apart from all the cool stuff that Envision makes, we also constantly partner with a lot of companies, you know, and bring the best accessibility apps that people love on smartphones over to these glasses as well. For example, last year we announced the Aira integration. So anyone who has a pair of Envision glasses today can actually make an Aira call hands-free from the Envision glasses and you know, use them when they're out and about. And we have so many more exciting partnerships. You know, think of any of your favorite accessibility apps. We're talking to all of them and we're going to have them on the Envision glasses as well. So when you buy a pair of Envision glasses, you don't just get Envision's tech, you also get a bunch of other apps that you come to, that you've come to love using on smartphones. So that's a little bit about Envision in itself. Yeah,
I think that's one of the things we were talking about when we were last on Tech Talk. And how's that been? How's the reaction been to Ira being on Envision? Has it all been quite positive?
Oh, it's been an absolute game changer for everybody, right? It's been a game changer for Envision. It's been a game changer for Ira, and it's been a game changer for the customers. Because, you know, for us, we've always believed that from the beginning, we've always believed that the glasses is just more than a set of tools that we are building. And we've always built the glasses from the perspective of making it a platform, very similar to, you know, your iOS or Android, right? And for Ira, you know, they've always wanted to go back onto smart glasses someday. And for the customers, they really, really missed having to use Ira hands-free. So when this partnership came out, it took off like, you know, it was like being strapped to a rocket ship. You know, that's how it really felt like the first few weeks. You know, there was so much buzz around it, and I think people really loved it. And I think it's been our most successful partnership to date. And we have a lot more planned with Ira in the coming, you know, next few months. You're going to see a lot more Ira features being rolled out on the glasses. And apart from that, you know, we are having some really exciting partnership news and updates as well. That's also going to be announced soon. Yeah. So it's been an exciting time.
It sounds it. Yeah. We'll look forward to that. So talk us through this most recent announcement then. This is almost some pricing changes and some new, I wouldn't say new glasses, but new editions of the glasses, as you're calling them. So do you want to talk us through these?
So when we first launched the glasses, we've always maintained that, you know, at some point in the future, there could be different editions of these glasses at different price points to kind of help customers, you know, who probably feel like, okay, I want to only use certain features of the glasses and not use other features. We wanted to give more choices to customers, and when we wanted, and by giving people more choice, we're also increasing the accessibility of the product in some way, right? We're giving, increasing the access to the product in some way, because you know, if users only want to use the read, you know, features of the Envision glasses, they could pay a lot less than, you know, what they would pay for a full edition of the Envision glasses, and then, you know, later on they could upgrade and so on, right? So based on that thinking, we launched two new editions of the Envision glasses. The first one is the read edition, where you could go ahead and make a you could go ahead and purchase the Envision glasses and get only the read features, so the instant text, the scan text, and the bat scan features of the Envision glasses. Those are the only features that are, that come in the read edition. And then you have the home edition, which is the one that we were selling earlier as well. And then we finally have the professional edition. And the professional edition is for people who basically want all the features of the Envision glasses, plus a couple of additional things, right? And what we also, you know, announced was the ability for people to upgrade to different editions of the glasses whenever they feel like. So someone could say, okay, you know what, I want to start off with the read edition, but then at some point in the future, if they see some features that are exciting to them, they can just upgrade to the home edition. Or from the home edition, they could go ahead and upgrade to the professional edition if they want to. And the professional edition is basically the home edition plus lifetime updates for the glasses, along with extended warranty times. So these are the three editions that we are launching, you know, just gives people more options to pick from, basically.
Yeah. So if I wanted to upgrade from, for example, say if I started off with the read edition, as you mentioned there, and then I decide, okay, I want more of the features available, I want to upgrade to the home edition, is that a software upgrade, or would I have to get a new physical, you know, a new set of hardware? Like a new set of glasses, or is it just you pay the money and then you get a software update?
That's a good question, Callum. All three editions actually have the same hardware. It's the same hardware, right? So there is no difference in the hardware. So if someone wants to purchase a read edition of the glasses, they can go ahead and purchase it. And at some point, they can just pay, £500 and then upgrade to a home edition if they want, right? So it's basically all of these upgrades are or can be purchased, and it's just pure software updates, software upgrades that we push, and you don't have to buy new hardware in order to go ahead and use them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really nice. I mean, there's nothing worse, is there, than getting an upgraded device and then having to get a whole new device and transfer your settings and transfer everything over. So you don't have to do that if you wanted to upgrade these.
True. I mean, if I was a customer, I would have definitely hated that option. So we wanted to keep the hardware, same across all three editions. And we just wanted to be able to, play around with the software upgrades part. And the Reed and the Professional Edition, actually, they're not aimed, as much towards the retail customers as customers who want to go through different reimbursement options, right? A lot of customers asked us as to why we introduced the Reed and the Professional Edition. And it's because in many countries across the world, and I think even in the UK, you've got a certain cap. And we wanted to come up with these editions so that they come under these different caps that insurance companies or governments have for reimbursements. And so that customers don't have to pay for the lion's share of the device cost, and they can just choose to pay for the upgrades if they want to, right? So the Reed and the Professional Editions really help with the reimbursement slabs that are there in different countries. And if a customer is really interested in purchasing the glasses, they can just also they can just pick up the home edition from our website at any point in time if they want to just get the entire glasses experience. So it's more to satisfy the reimbursement requirements than for us to directly sell it to retail customers in a way. Yeah.
There is a subscription as well, isn't there, from next year? Am I right in thinking when this takes effect for the feature updates?
Yes. So there is a subscription. And I want to specifically talk about this subscription stuff in more detail, right? So I think there's been a lot of questions around it online ever since we announced it. And I want to make a few things quite clear. So when we first launched the Envision glasses in 2020, we've always maintained that at some point in the future, people might have to pay for upgrades. In fact, we were going to start the whole subscription stuff from 2021 onwards. But we kind of, offered people not one, but almost 3 years of software updates for free on the Envision glasses. So all the updates that we have pushed since we launched the glasses in 2020 have, been given to customers entirely free of cost, right? Going forward, what we wanted to do was we wanted to make sure that we can sustainably innovate on the glasses. And so we decided to introduce a subscription fee. Now, the way the subscription works is as follows, right? So from the time people upgrade or update their glasses, or when they purchase their glasses on our website, they get 1 year's worth of updates entirely free. Now, after 1 year, they can choose to pay £199 per year to go ahead and have access to software updates. Now, it's a completely optional thing. And if they choose not to pay for the software updates, their glasses will still continue to work with all the features that they have accumulated over the course of their, free 1 year subscription, right? So if we put out anything, like tomorrow, if we put out a new partnership with a company, like if we have some other app on the glasses, or if we introduce a new feature, all those things are going to be available to you. And after 1 year, you can choose to either continue to pay for updates, or you can choose to not pay for updates, and you can still use the glasses with all the features that you have. Now, this cost only applies to feature updates. So if we improve a feature, if we go ahead and add a new feature, that's when you have to go ahead and, that's when the updates are, the cost is applicable. Now, this cost does not apply to things like bug fixes or security updates or other maintenance updates that we might push, right? So there are two tiers of updates, and people can choose to pay. So by making the glasses updates, the subscription fee completely optional, one, it's, of course, if if people only choose, you know, if people see value in the features that we push, they can choose to update. If they don't see the values in the features that we push, they can just stay happy with all the existing features on the glasses that they have. And so one, it keeps us on our toes. And two, it's fair for the customers to only pay for this when they see enough value in it. And we have quite a few updates packed for at least the next few years that I think a lot of people might be willing to pay for it once they see, you know, the value in it, basically.
Yeah, and I think that's a good important point to make, isn't it? That feature updates are new features. If you've got the glasses and you choose not to pay your subscription, but there's a bug with one of the features and you release an update that fixes that bug, you would still get that even if you're not paying for the subscription, because it's that would be considered a maintenance update.
Exactly, exactly, right? And I think, you know, we put a lot of time, a lot of thought into figuring out how we should structure these updates. And, you know, we could have either taken the option of you pay updates and only then can you use the glasses, and or the more riskier, you know, setup is to say, okay, you know, we're going to make it completely optional, but you can still use the glasses regardless of whether you choose to pay for the updates or not. And, you know, we being Envision, we just took the riskier approach here in a sense. But that this is what felt right doing it. And all these maintenance updates, they're going to keep, you know, we're going to keep pushing them. We're going to keep fixing issues, bugs, and even minor feature improvements, we can just, you know, pass off as maintenance updates, and people will still be able to use the glasses in the way they've always been using them, even if they choose not to pay.
And what about the Envision app? Because like for me personally, I don't have the glasses, but I do use the app, and it was announced a few months ago that that's now being made free. Are there any changes for those users, for the app users?
No, there are no changes for the app users, except for the fact that we are still extremely bullish on the app. We have some very, very big changes coming to the app soon. Good ones, you know, good changes. So we have a completely new UI. We are working on three or four new features for the app as well, right? So there's a lot of stuff that's in the work. In the works right now with regards to the app, and hopefully we're going to have a very, very exciting year for the app as well, along with the glasses. So we're equally bullish on the app.
Exciting. I'm interested in the new features and the kind of aspect of the hardware of the glasses, because what's really strange for me is that the glasses are built on Google Glass Enterprise Edition, and this is the only thing. I remember Google Glass being released a few years ago, and everyone kind of said, well, it's nice, but it's all a bit weird. And then it just seems to go really quiet. And then you guys have seemed to have just pulled it back out from where it was buried and developed Envision on it, which is really an amazing platform. So what kind of new things can you work on? You know, are there any new features that would require new hardware from Google or from another manufacturer?
So we've planned our roadmap under the assumption that this is the hardware that we're going to be working with for at least the next couple of years, right? You know, that puts a lot of onus on the software team to innovate on the software side as much as we can. And I think we're just scratching the surface of what this hardware can do, to be honest. You know, I think we've been working with it for 3 years now, more than 3 years. And I think there's so much more that we can do with this hardware going forward. So that's a very, hopefully that comes across as good news for all the people who are owning the glasses today and probably will own them in the future as well, that we have a lot planned with the existing hardware itself. Having said that, I think there are two categories or three categories, I think, with which, you know, that you can expect to see updates coming out in, right? So all the updates that we have pushed out or the roadmap that we have planned for the year comes under three categories. The first category is we're going to push more features that are going to work offline on the glasses. So a lot of features that you're seeing on the glasses that are online today will go offline in the coming months, in the coming years. So that's the primary, you know, category in which a bunch of updates this year will fall under. The second thing is that after the success of Aira, we've come to realize how amazing partnerships are, both for the companies and for the customers. So we are working on a lot of new partnerships. Like I said, if you think of some of the most popular apps in the community today that people are using, we're going to have them all on the Envision glasses, hopefully in this year, right? So that's basically the second category of features. And the last category of features is we're going to have Envision available on more platforms. So we've got Envision on the phone. We are working on an iPad or tablet version of the Envision app at the moment. Envision is also going to be on the desktop this year. Envision is going to be on the web. Envision is going to be it's already on the glasses. Yes, on smart glasses. It's also going to be on other devices, like, for example, the blind shell and so on. So we're actually going to have Envision be there on almost every platform that you can think of, right? And so anyone who is, scanning a document with the Envision glasses can easily go ahead and read it on the Envision desktop if they want to, or if someone's, has a blind shell device and they want to use the glasses with the blind shell device, they'd be able to do that. So we have a lot of these, platform innovations coming out as well in the coming year. So these are sort of the three categories under which you can see features coming out in 2023 and hopefully a little bit in 2024 as well. Yeah.
So just quickly then, going back to these additions, if someone's listening to this and thinking of purchasing the glasses, where would you recommend they start? Where do the different additions fit into what people might be aiming to use them for?
I think if someone wants to purchase the Envision glasses, I would definitely recommend the Home Edition. The Home Edition is the standard, edition of the Envision glasses that has been around for a while. So that has all the features of the Envision glasses. So it's got all the read features, it's got calling an ally, it's got Aira, it's got all of those features. And they can go ahead and make a purchase of the Home Edition. And like I said, when you purchase the Home Edition, you get all the updates free for an entire year. So you get a 1 year's worth of free subscription. And after that 1 year, they can choose to either pay for the updates, and this is an annual fee. So we don't charge per update. You just pay £199 per annum for all of the updates that we push out in that year. Or at that point, they can also choose to go ahead and upgrade to a professional edition and they can just, make that purchase as well, right? So it's really up to them on how they want to go about making this purchase. But I would recommend the Home Edition as a starting point, right, for them. So if someone's thinking of purchasing the glasses, that's what I would tell them. Just purchase the Home Edition and then after a year, you can decide as to whether you want to go ahead and upgrade to a professional edition, which gives you 1 year extra warranty. And basically, you get updates free for a lifetime, or you can choose to pay for it on an annual basis, whatever works for you. If someone's really on a shoestring budget and they want to, and they think, okay, I want the glasses, but I want to only have the read features, then the read edition is for them. And that starts retails at £1,499 as against the Home Edition, which is £1,999, £2,000 basically. So you can go ahead and decide which one you want to pick based on that.
And then if you did buy, for example, the Read Edition and then wanted to upgrade, it's just the difference that you pay, isn't it, for the upgrade?
Exactly. You just pay the difference and that unlocks all of the features. Yeah. You can just write to us and say, hey, I want to upgrade from the Read to the Home Edition, and then we can just do that for you quite easily. And over a period of time, you'll be able to do that yourself from within the Envision app. Yeah.
Great stuff. Kartik, thanks again for joining us, and keep in touch as well. You keep teasing us about these partnerships. So when there's more news, we'll have to get you back on.
Yes. No, I think, I can only give that much before my marketing team, puts this one on my face. Like a plaster on my face. I don't want them to, ban me from doing podcasts, because I tend to get a little too excited about these partnerships and I keep talking about them. But yes, we honestly have a bunch of cool stuff happening. And I think we definitely will keep coming back throughout the year, hopefully, and we're just super excited for all the things that are to come for the community this year with the Envision glasses. Yeah,
fantastic. Kartik Kannan from Envision, thanks very much.
Thank you so much, Callum.
Now, if you were listening back in September, we had a fantastic conversation with Nick Howden, the MD of Real Thing AI. And we explored the whole subject of conversational AI, which, of course, is now never far from the headlines. Well, we are joined by Louise Humphreys, who is the country director for Real Thing AI, or as we know them in the UK, Real Sam. Hello, Louise. Welcome back to Tech Talk. Fantastic to have you on. Looking forward to finding out what's new. I guess you guys are feeling like finally your day has come, that everyone suddenly is caught up with this idea that conversational AI is a bit of a hot topic at the moment.
Yeah, it's funny, actually. I was just having that conversation yesterday with somebody, and I think I was actually asked the question of, do I see it as an issue that so many companies now are in this space with conversational AI? And I said, no, far from it. I think it's fantastic, because as much as anything, we don't have to do the hard work of trying to explain what it even is that we do. People are so much more familiar with this kind of technology, which means that we can focus on the important conversations of how our product is different and who we're here to help, and yeah, why we see it as a great time to be in market right now.
Right. And of course, the thing that you guys at Real Sam and we at RNIB have in common is that we're very interested in how we can kind of leverage machine learning and artificial intelligence and conversational AI in particular to support blind and partially sighted people.
Yeah, and as you know, really that's where it started for us as an organisation back in 2017, 2018, those early conversations with RNIB about how we can help to share information through voice. Obviously back then there were other ways people could access things like their books and news, perhaps through screen readers, but having that real control yourself to be able to ask a device and get the information you need quickly and succinctly in an easily accessible way was really quite revolutionary back in 2018. So obviously we're really pleased that we were there at the start, and now that we've been able to evolve our products and I guess understand the customer needs even more, it's meant that we've been able to bring new products in the market this year that we feel are actually going to make a difference to people.
Right, so let's talk about that then. So 5 years on, you have a new product. Very exciting. Congratulations. So you've launched your new Real Sam phone. We'll talk about some of the benefits and who this is for in a moment. But can you just sort of explain where Real Sam phone sits in terms of your product portfolio, particularly for those of us who might be familiar with previous products?
Yeah, so we still obviously have Real Sam Pocket. That's our flagship product that you can buy in the UK and in the US as well. And obviously we go out, we're talking to customers every day, we're attending events. We were starting to believe there was a need for something that was very simple. I hesitate to use the word strip back, but we were having conversations with people who were saying, you know, I've tried to use, let's say, an iPhone, or I've tried to use the Android phone with VoiceOver, and I'm just finding it's too confusing. There's complexity in there I don't need. Often we're receiving inquiries from the loved one of a person who may ultimately be the end user of our product. And I guess that there was a sense, certainly in the UK anyway, that Pocket had too much going on. there's a cohort of people who it's wonderful for, because it's essentially that one-stop shop where you can access media, entertainment, a range of assistance tools, and obviously the core communications features you'd expect from any phone. But there was definitely a growing wave of people who were starting to say, I have a relative I'm supporting, I have perhaps an older relative who may have sight loss, but also maybe some other health conditions that are just making it really difficult for them to use touch screen technology or remember perhaps a wider range of commands to use a voice dialogue system to access multiple things. So that, I suppose, is where the idea started. Is there a marketplace for something that does less, but does it really, really well? And then I guess we were conscious of the price point that people could afford in this country right now. Obviously, we know where we're at. We know what inflation looks like. We know that the cost of living is is really quite high for people right now. And we wanted to ensure that we had an offer that was affordable. I hesitate to say that because what's affordable for anyone? But yeah, we wanted to introduce a product that was an alternative price point, shall I say, to Pocket. So that's what we've done. We've brought a product in that still has all of the core voice capabilities that Pocket does. It really focuses in on being a communications device, so easily able to make calls, send messages, receive messages, add contacts by voice, all of those things that are wonderful. And then we've kept all of the assistance tools. So we want people to be able to use our device to help them to be independent. So talking clocks, talking weather, access to Be My Eyes, the text reading solution, the object recognition, those kind of utility tools that may not be used by everybody, but we like to think it's important that they're there for the cohort of customers that we're trying to help.
Mature products and keeping it simple are always, there's always that tension, isn't there? Because people ask for new features and functions, and of course, everyone wants updates and access to more content and capabilities. But how do you keep that simple is the challenge. And so now you've got this separate product, the RealSam phone, which really does focus in, as you say, just on those few really important things for making calls, sending messages, and also accessing those services. Because of course, if you want to use Be My Eyes on a regular smartphone, you can do, but you know, good luck with setting that up, right? My son got a new smartphone at Christmas, and I think it took us half a day, you know, because you've got to fill in all sorts of bits of information. You've got to, you know, go through a multi-stage kind of setup process. It feels like long gone are the days when you would literally take a new phone out of the box, switch it on, and then you could just make a phone call. And I guess that's something you're very aware of.
Absolutely. And that's really what we aim to do. We aim that when you receive a product from us, it arrives with the SIM card installed, activated, ready to turn on. We have a quick start guide, obviously, in every box. Both of our products have built-in voice-activated user guides, so you can tap the talk button and ask it to guide you through each of the key features. There's also on-screen menus as well that the end user, if they're partially sighted, may be able to use, or a loved one supporting them. And as you know, with RealSam, we offer unlimited customer support to all new customers, and we aim to offer everybody at least 2 one-to-one setup calls where we help get connected to Wi-Fi, help programming contacts, talk through all the basic features and how to use them. And then that second phone call is a follow-up where we perhaps can go into a little bit more depth, mindful of the fact that a lot of the people that we're supporting haven't used a smartphone before, or if they have, they haven't had a good experience. So it's a very gentle approach where we're trying to guide people and support them and support their wider family as well. And everybody has 60 days to try out the product as well. So 60 days of really giving it a good go. And hopefully by the end of that period, it's become a core part of their day-to-day life. But if it isn't, we'll happily take it back and know that, you know, it was something that the family were willing to try, but perhaps isn't right for everybody.
We at RNIB, of course, our attention is absolutely on blind and partially sighted people. That's why RNIB exists. But clearly, you're looking to serve a slightly broader audience. Your products can support users with other disabilities as well.
Yeah, and that's really what we've seen coming through with the launch of this product. I guess Pocket, we believe, is our product for blind and partially sighted people. We have content on there for blind people. We'll continue to build out assistance tools and solutions and features for blind people within the Pocket feature set. With the phone product, the inquiries that are coming through are quite varied. So we are seeing inquiries from people with cognitive decline, memory issues of some sort. So the idea of something being really simple where you can just tap the button and speak a simple command is actually proving to be quite valuable. We're seeing inquiries from people with Parkinson's disease, where perhaps any kind of gestures to control a touch screen are quite challenging. So that's another area that we've seen good interest from. We've seen interest from younger people, so perhaps the first smartphone that people are interested in investing in. So parents are interested in the fact that it doesn't have the ability to download social media and a lot of other apps. They like the idea of being able to control the experience. So that's interesting, and that's probably something we haven't seen before so much with Pocket. Yeah, and just other health conditions. There's really quite a wide range, and personally, I've read many of these inquiries, and it's actually, you know, it's quite heartwarming to see that we're able to help people in quite challenging situations often.
I noticed that one of the features that is designed for those of us with partial or no sight is the magnifier and the ability to read printed text or even handwriting, it says here, out loud. So just talk us through how that works, Louise.
Yeah, so it's really great. Essentially, you do access the magnifier tool. Within the magnifier tool, you are capturing an image. And then that image allows you to change it or read it in a number of different ways. So what I mean by that is you can alter color combinations, contrast, zoom in, zoom out. So for those that are partially sighted, it may be that you can use that video magnifier to enhance an image and interpret it for yourself. But also we have the ability to text read. So it does work accurately on both handwritten and printed text. And even if you capture an image in a way that perhaps isn't very clear, the feature does have the ability to sharpen the image as well. So I'm not sure that it could read the most scribbled of doctor's handwriting, but certainly it is accurate to a good degree. So if you were perhaps out, you wanted to be able to read a menu, you could capture the image, zoom in, you could have it read back to you. If you receive a greetings card, a birthday card, it's more than capable of reading the text. Or letters that, while you can also use the Be My Eyes service and ask for support with reading mail that comes through the door. Obviously, it's private if you manage to do it yourself. So, yeah, so that's a good feature. And the object recognition works in the same way. You'd capture the image and select the object recognition, and it would talk you through what's in front of you.
And the text and object recognition, Louise, does that require you to be online, or will it work in an offline sort of mode?
So the phone does require you to have a data service to access those features. Yeah, so it does always require a data feed. So we provide the phone in one of two ways, either with a SIM card that has a data access, or we suggest if you're using it SIM free, you obviously are connected to a local or home Wi-Fi. So yeah, you do need to have a data signal to access all of the features.
Right, okay. And then of course that means that you can kind of upgrade things on the back end as well. And then when you're lining up your camera, because this is part of the challenge for those of us who do use object recognition and text recognition apps, does the software give the user any cues about how to do that effectively?
Yeah, I would say it doesn't give you spoken guidance at the moment. As I said, it does have a kind of enhance feature. You can run your finger down the screen and it will talk to you about zooming in and zooming out and the colour combinations and the contrast, that kind of thing. But it wouldn't necessarily say move to the left or move to the right. That is probably one of the limitations of it right now.
Maybe something for the future. And you mentioned Be My Eyes, of course, the network of sighted volunteers who can see through your camera and offer visual assistance with everyday tasks. I liken it to grabbing a volunteer off the street. So your mileage may vary depending on who you get, but an awesome service that I use on a regular basis. And of course, trying to do that on a regular smartphone can be challenging. Of course, you've got to set up the phone in the first place, and then you've got to go and grab the app from the store, and then you've got to sign up. So is that all pre-installed and ready to go when you get the device from yourselves, or do you have to do a little bit of setup there?
So it's integrated within the device, so you don't have to download the app. You would need to tap the talk button and say Be My Eyes, The first time that you use it, you need to register for the service, but we will guide and support you through one of our intro calls in how to do that. It's a very simple process, that part, or again, done by voice. But after that, after that very first registration, it is as simple as tapping the talk and saying, "Be my eyes," and we will connect you to the first available volunteer. So you don't need to worry about updating the software or downloading it or anything like that.
That's fantastic. And just to be clear then, so the software is all pre-installed on the device. You can't get the software separately. Like if I already had one of these Samsung phones, I can't just go and grab the RealSam software off the store or something. It comes as a package.
It does come as a package right now, yeah. So that isn't something that we separate out. I know some of the other suppliers in the marketplace do provide just software, but ours we embed within the phone.
Fantastic. Right, okay. So let's talk about cost and availability then. So where can we get it and how much does it cost?
Okay, so you can buy it on our website, which is realsam.co.uk, or you can call our customer support team and ask a few questions. Obviously, a lot of people want to ask questions before making a purchase such as this. So they're on 01733514612. You can also do an inquiry through our website and we'll send you over some brochures and that kind of thing. I'll answer any questions people might have through emails. In terms of pricing, assuming that a customer is eligible for VAT exemptions, it would be £19.99 a month on a 3-year plan to access RealSam phone. And that includes unlimited calls, text, and 1 gigabyte of data. And over that 3-year contract, you're paying off the cost of the handset. So that's £19.99 a month. Alternatively, you can buy it SIM free, so own your handset outright, and that would be £499. So that's the option to just buy the handset and put in a SIM card of your choice, which would potentially be something that you do on a pay as you go, or you may already have a contract that you're looking to port over, so we can help you to do that and retain any existing phone numbers that you might have as well.
And if folk want to try before they buy, are you out and about? Are you at exhibitions?
Yeah, the next exhibition we're at is actually the Essex site one, which is not until May. But we offer online demonstrations. We offer Zoom demonstrations and obviously phone consultations. And as well, we're happy to come out to community groups and other events. If any of your listeners are perhaps organising anything like that, then certainly get in touch with us and we'll try to book it in.
Louise Humphreys, Country Manager with RealSam. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave.
That brings us to the end of another Tech Talk. Thank you so much for your company. Do tune in next time when we'll be speaking with Jane Sharp from RNIB's education team about technology in the classroom. Callum Stoneman, thank you very much for your company. Have a good week.
Thank you. Bye for now.
And don't forget, of course, Tech Talk. You can first hear us on a Tuesday at 1 p.m. on RNIB Connect Radio. And then we're rerunning on a Thursday evening, I think at 9 p.m. And then, of course, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts from the Friday. Until next time, from myself, Dave Williams, co-host Callum Stoneman, and the rest of the Tech Talk team, bye for now.